We are in Isaiah chapter 2. Now, before we read, I want to show you this. Go ahead, Chris, if you would. This is obviously a review for many, but we are now in Revelation chapter 20, just finished it up last week. And so I want to spend a little time this morning talking about two very important principles. Let's catch up where we are. Eternity past in front of Genesis 1:1. The New Jerusalem is Revelation chapter 22 and following. Here's what happened. God makes Adam, and it's about 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, and then from Abraham about 2,000 years to Jesus. Jesus is the first resurrection. That's why he gets the first green body. And then to us, about 2,000 years ago, we are now and currently in the church age. And there's specificity for that in our New Testament and Old Testament, interestingly enough. Well, when is the church age going to end? The Bible is very clear. When the rapture of the church happens. That's the next thing to come on the prophetic timeline. God says that the fullness of the Gentiles is complete, which is to say the church is done. In the mind of the Father, there's a number that the last person receives the Lord. And then God says to his son, the Father says to Jesus, go get your bride. So out we come and then go. What we've been studying is the next 7-year Great Tribulation. That is Revelation chapters 6 through 18. And the reason it is 7 years are for some very important reasons. Namely, it's the 70th week of years of Daniel chapter 9. So when that is done, 1260 days in the first half, 1260 days in the second half, then what happens? Jesus comes back and he is now touching down on the earth. The rapture is the second group of people who get our brand new bodies, multidimensional, like Jesus in his resurrection body. And we get to move into that multidimensional place where God the Father dwells and all that that means. Well, then the 7-year tribulation happens and then we're all finished. And then God says, I'm going to come back down to the planet. And that's when he is going to begin his 1,000-year millennial reign. But before he does there in chapter 20, millennial reign, chapter 19, that's when Old Testament believers, Moses, Elijah, all those guys, and the tribulation saints that missed the rapture because they weren't saved at the time, but they become Christians during that last week. And it's a very perilous time. The Antichrist has given a certain license to go after even believers. And believers in the believers in the Great Tribulation, it is a horrific existence. Standing for God at that time is perilous to your life, and many are killed in a brutal fashion as the Antichrist is allowed to do his thing. Well, anyway, at the end of that 7-year tribulation, the tribulation saints get their new bodies and then go. Now what happens is the 1,000-year millennial reign that we're going to look at this morning in a bit more detail. Why is it 1,000 years? There's a number of reasons, but do you see the blue numbers? Have you ever noticed in the Bible there's a pattern? You work 6 and you rest the 7th. The 7th day, God rested after making creation. Why? Because he was tuckered out? No. He has all power. He never loses power when he uses power. He did it as a pattern. 6 millennia of travail, and the 7th will be mostly rest. But now I want to show you what happens then. And then in the end of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, we see that there is a judgment day. Through the 1,000-year millennial reign, the enemy, Lucifer, and all of his fallen angels, demons, are chunked into the abuso, or the bottomless pit, so they don't mess with the new reconstituted, reformed planet Earth, back to its Eden-like condition. And I'm going to show you a number of descriptions about that. And then on Judgment Day, what happens there? That's when the people in the millennial reign, the humans, that's where they get their new bodies if they were believers. Can you imagine that through the millennial reign, there are humans living in perfect, restored Eden with Jesus on the planet? You don't have to drive to the store because Every man lives under their own vine. Perfect justice. And yet even still, there are humans in the millennial reign that I'm going to describe here in a moment who don't want to love God. They are posers and they sort of go through the motions, but in perfect conditions, they still do not love nor want to respond to the living God. So the temporary hell called Sheol, which is with us today, Jesus said, if you are a believer, you die. Your body stays here. Sorry for the mess. But you, the real you, is immediately with the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of a disembodied spirit. Someone who is not a believer, they die, body stays here. Their disembodied spirits goes to that place that the Bible describes at the center of the earth. Is there a great big cave in the middle of the earth? Could be. But remember, these are disembodied spirits, so think multidimensionally. It's very, very different. So the unrighteous dead side of Sheol is continuing to accumulate disembodied spirits all the way through to the millennium until Judgment Day. And that's when now everybody stands before the Lord in their disembodied spirits for a moment, and then they get their new bodies. And please hear me clearly. The Bible is very clear. Everyone who has ever lived will get a new multidimensional but physiological body designed by God so that you could hang with him in all of his pulsing power and might and majesty. Remember Moses? Hey, God, I want to see you. And then the Father said, can't do it, Mo. You would explode at the speed of light. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. You remember that? And you can just view my Shekinah, my afterglow. And even then, his face glowed so much that the people said, whoa, Moses, your face, dude, is like on high beams. Put a bag on your head. Fascinating. There's coming a day when everyone will get a brand new body designed to be with God forever and ever. But some will get their resurrected bodies because they did not believe and they did not respond to the God who loves them. And what's going to happen with those guys is they're going to go to some place that's not too pleasant. Hit our go button if you would. Now, I've got you in Isaiah chapter 2. We're going to look at this period of time, the thousand-year millennial reign. Are you in Isaiah chapter 2? Look down there to verse number 4. This is Isaiah, 700 B.C., talking about this millennial reign. And he, notice capital H, that's Messiah, shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. And they, the humans at this time, will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war any more. Now, right in your margin here, Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. 11, 6 through 9. Let's turn there. More to the story. If that sounds familiar to you, they shall beat their swords into plowshares. Did I say Isaiah 11? I'm glad I said that. That's what I meant. Isaiah 11, we're going to start with verse 6. But that first Isaiah, how many of you recognize that? Beat their swords into plowshares. That's what's emblazoned in front of the United Nations building. Yeah, nice try, humans. But humans can never achieve that kind of peace. Why? We'll see here in a minute. Humans, as a rule, love their sin. There's only one way when the humans are going to beat their swords into plowshares. It's during the millennial reign when Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is there. More description. We're now in Isaiah 11. Look at verse number 6. What else is going to happen in the millennium? Well, the wolf is going to dwell with the lamb. By the way, is lamb typically wolf food? Yeah, but not in the millennium. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. Young goats are typically leopard food, not in the millennial reign. The calf and the young lion will be, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Go ahead, if you would. Yeah, I found a picture of it. How cool is that, you guys? And a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall graze, and their young lions shall lie down together. And look at this. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. No more carnivores, like it was in the Garden of Eden. Verse 8. And the nursing child shall play at the cobra's hole. As a rule, did you want to play anywhere near a cobra den? I don't think so. But in the millennial reign, everything is going to be perfect. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. Then, verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of God as waters cover the sea. So that is a description. Go ahead. Of the millennial reign, and with your indulgence, I want to give you even more. Are you ready, Chris? I'm going to go through these rather quickly, but I hope that you'll be able to come back to them if you want to review them on our website. But let me show you. I'm going to cite 40. There are many more descriptions, but we only have so much time. I'm going to give you just 40 descriptions of that seventh millennia, the millennia of Jesus Christ on the planet. Ready? Go ahead, Chris. Well, Jesus is going to be living in Jerusalem, says Isaiah 11, verse 10. The planet is going to be healed and restored, says Isaiah 49 and Revelation 7. In fact, it's going to be like Eden, Isaiah 51. If you want to see a video of how it works, you can jot those down. Isaiah 2, we read a little. Isaiah 11, but there's more. Zechariah 14 and Revelation 19, etc. Number 4, Jerusalem is going to be the center of everything. Isaiah 66, it's going to be the center of all peace, like a river, and comfort. In fact, the Bible describes living as babies at the breast. There is no more picture of just, than that. Be Gentiles streaming in to learn and offer sacrifices, Isaiah 55. People are going to live again to 1,000 years old. And anyone who dies at 100 will say, what a tragedy. Quick and perfect judgments for all lawbreakers. Remember, you and I and our new bodies are going to be living in and among the humans. So are the Old Testament saints, and so are the tribulation saints. We will be administrators along with the Lord Jesus because our mind is greatly expanded. We will know as we are known. You and I will have a working encyclopedic knowledge of God's word. Have you ever been reading your Bible and you read 3 or 4 verses and suddenly it occurs to you, I don't think I know what I read? Don't worry, that's with all of us, especially all of us who have ADD trophies in our trophy case. Don't forget, the Bible says you just read God's word, let it flow through your mind and heart. It's sticking. How do you know? Because we've also experienced, we're talking to someone and a Bible verse comes out of nowhere. You're like, I didn't even know I knew that. God says, I knew you knew that because my word never returns to me void. Amen, you guys. Quick and perfect judgment for all lawbreakers will be a part of that. E, idol worshipers will be judged quickly. There's no shenanigans. Number 5, Zion will be the highest mountain on the earth. Won't be Everest anymore. Some of these major earthquakes that are described in the book of Revelation, where all the human walls fall down, there won't be any human architecture left. All the islands disappear. What is it? The fish of the sea get seasick in the air. The birds of the air get airsick. What's God doing? My hunch, he's reformulating the continents. And now the new average of land, I believe there will be no oceans separating the land masses. I believe there'll be one more Pangaea once again. Because remember, you don't need petrochemical motors to go anywhere. Because wherever you stop on the side of the road, there's fruit growing. And when we do want to travel to Jerusalem, because the Bible says in the book of Zechariah, we're going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles every year. But the old earth is going to be redone. And guess which mountain is going to be the highest one? Mount Zion, where Jesus' temple will be. Go ahead. Number six. No more wars, as we saw, swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. Animals, number seven, aren't dangerous. We just read. There's also going to be a major highway system running east and west for people to get to Jerusalem. That's in Isaiah 19. Number nine, how believers lived God's word when they were here and alive will affect your millennial station. Please understand that. Jesus told a couple parables about that. When we get our new bodies at the rapture, we also get a series of rewards and crowns that we want to give right back to the Lord. And so some of us will have crowns, and some of us will have rewards, and some of us will have others. And some people say, well, I don't do what I do down here to be rewarded. I know. But on that day, how many of you would like Jesus to look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Crowns, 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 crowns. And some people say, well, you know, will that really be in effect? Will it bother me? Probably not, because all of us will have a fullness of God. And then John Corson says, yeah, a thimble can be full, and so can a swimming pool, and so can an ocean. How many of you want to be an ocean of what you did here in faithfulness? Your station in the place of the millennial reign was going to reflect that. Number 10 now. The whole world speaks the same language. Did you know that? That's in Zephaniah chapter 3. I bet it's going to be English. No, it's not going to be English. I bet it's going to be Hebrew. Verse 11, or number 11. Dispensations of the promised land, that is to say, dimensions of the promised land are finally going to be fulfilled, as talked about in Joshua 1, from the Nile currently to the Euphrates. All false teachers are going to quickly be discovered and dealt with, says Isaiah 30 and Deuteronomy 13, quickly. Isaiah 16:5 says that Jesus in Jerusalem is going to hasten justice. Isaiah 65, the cursed. There will be jurisprudence happening in the millennial reign, and I believe I can make a case for even capital punishment. And it very well could be that you, if you die before 100 years of age, it's because somebody was being rebellious and somebody didn't listen to the new-bodied believers around them, didn't buy the Bible studies, the ubiquitous Bible studies everywhere, the God's word covering the earth like a sea, and they act out eventually, and then they have to be justifiably judged. Isaiah 65, verse 12, those who forsake the Lord, destined for the sword. And something interesting, they quote, have to bow down before the executioner. It will be perfect justice. It will be swift justice. As Psalm 149, verse 9, capital punishment in the millennial reign every 100 years, potentially. Deuteronomy 17, 12 says, he who will not heed the priest or the judge shall die, and thus put away evil from Israel. Number F, Zechariah 13, verse 3, fathers and mothers will turn in their own false prophet children. It's going to be a part of the millennial reign. Go. Number 13, lots of light. The moon is going to be like the sun, and the sun seven times brighter. That's Isaiah 30. Talk about, I've got sunshine on a cloud. There ain't no cloudy days. You're going to have sun so light, and the moon in the millennial reign is going to be like the sun. Where do I get to sleep? Bible says that rest and peaceful sleep is for the righteous. You will sleep like a baby if you're human. Number 14, new-bodied believers. There's your job description if you want to check that out. Isaiah 32, and it's quickly, you, as a new-bodied believer, are going to be a hiding place for the humans. You are going to be peace and protection. B, you're also going to be a cover New body believers are going to be an example of a godly relationship or a relationship with God and covering over the humans. See, we will also be as rivers in a dry place. You and I, as new bodied believers in the millennial reign, are going to be like a fountain of God's word and truth, says Habakkuk 2, and the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God like waters cover the sea. And much of that knowledge is going to come from you to the humans. D, it's going to be like, we are going to be like a shadow of a great rock, that idea of lots of restoration and refreshing. Number 15, the response of the millennial humans is talked about in Isaiah 32, and here's part of the problem. They're going to be humans in this perfect environment that are born after the millennial reign begins, and there's going to be some posers. That's why Lucifer is let out at the end of that 1,000 years, because when they follow him suddenly, it will be revealed who was just faking their Christian walk. Number 15a, millennial humans will see it. They're going to be good students by and large. B, millennial humans will not be rash. C, the ungodly will not be heroes. We'll see here in a minute. You know who the new heroes are going to be? Bible dudes and dudesses. Those are going to be the heroes. Not if you can shoot a ball through a basket or hit a ball into a small little hole in the ground. 16, no one is stealing fruit from another's plants, says Isaiah 32. A, everyone is sitting under their own vine and fig tree. And we invite neighbors to come over. Hidey-ho, neighbor, come on over. Number 17, fruit and vegetables grow wherever you plant them. Number 18, livestock grazes everywhere without fear, says Isaiah. 19, peace is everywhere because righteousness is everywhere, says Isaiah 32. No crime. Dignity and safety is everywhere, says Zechariah 8. Go. Number 21, all atmospheric precipitation, even hail, is gentle and never harmful, says Isaiah 32. No more deserts. Perfect water distribution, says Isaiah 44. Israel will always remember how they strayed, because they're going to be conducting still sacrifices in Jesus' millennial reign. Currently, if there were Jews practicing animal sacrifices, it would be a model to atone for sin with innocent blood. Jesus fulfilled all that. In the millennial reign, they're going to look back because they're going to be reminded. See how cool it is here? And all this peace? Yeah, it's because you, Jesus, did it. How'd you do it? By defeating death and sin on the cross. So they will do those sacrifices as a memorial and reminder. A, they'll know why and be in complete agreement with God. When he allowed the Egyptians and the Babylonians and the Persians and the Greeks and the Romans and the Antichrist, oh yeah, because of their stubborn sin and pride. Number 24, no physical infirmities. Isaiah 35 says that Jesus' healing ministry was just as a taste here on the earth. Where do you see the millennial reign? Verse 25, or number 25. Everyone walking in the same direction and on the same page. You get a kick out of number 26. No depression ever. Why? Because the joy that is poured out all around you pours out on your head and heart, says Isaiah 35. 27. All creation is going to be singing, not just the humans, but the mountains and the trees are going to emanate frequencies that we will be able to hear, says Isaiah 44 and 55. A, new-bodied believers, I believe, with our new and heightened senses, will be able to hear the mountains singing and the trees clapping their hands. B, humans will hear it too, the millennial humans. I don't know. 28. Human Jewish teachers will travel around the world teaching, Isaiah 45, and Israel, once the most hunted and persecuted of all peoples, are now the most prosperous nation on the earth, says Isaiah 54. Go, number 30. All the world will know that the temple in Jerusalem is God's house, and that's going to be the focal point of all the humans over the entire planet. A, like Egyptians repaid the wealth stolen from the departing Israel there in Exodus 12, Gentiles' wealth will flow into Jerusalem. Some of you have heard prosperity teachings, and they'll cite these verses in Isaiah 60 and Haggai 2, that the wealth of the Gentiles will flow to them. They are mistaken if they think that that happens here in the church age. That's not what that means. That's going to be in the millennial reign. And B, all the world comes to Jerusalem to help build Jesus' temple, Zechariah 6. And now verse 31. The most famous and most influential humans on the planet will be Jewish priests. I don't know, will there be trading cards? Do you have Ishmael so-and-so? No, but I'm going to get him next time I get my bubble gum. I don't know. Number 32, only true born-again humans are going to begin the millennial reign, says Ezekiel 20. And also that's the separating of the sheep and the goats, because the goats are separated out when Jesus first returns. So that only God's sheep, we sang it this morning, we are the people, the sheep of his hand and the people of his pasture. Those are the only ones that are going to begin the millennial reign. Number 32, only truly born again humans are going to begin the millennial reign. 33, daily life in the millennial reign can be seen in Ezekiel chapter 46. Number 34, the Jubilee year is going to be celebrated in the millennial reign. 35, earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of God, says Habakkuk in Isaiah. 36, false teachers and the rebellious will hide out, some of them posing as righteousness, says Zephaniah 13. And now 37, after that 1,000 years is over, God lets Satan and the demons out of the bottomless pit or the abuso. Lucifer sings his songs, and all those posing are going to go, yeah, that's our man. And they're going to assemble together as a nation, and they're going to come against Jesus there in perfect peace. What's he going to say? What's going to be his salesmanship? Think about it. It's perfect. You're going to have more money. And then the humans, I don't need money. You're going to have more this, more that, more light, more fun, more whatever. It's perfect. What is he going to tempt and bring out from hiding those that still don't love God and don't believe that Jesus is who he says he is, the Prince of Peace? What's he going to say? I don't know. But do you see it with me? In perfect. Perfect, beautiful, restored Eden, still the human heart is, it's not enough. I want more. It's often what Lucifer dangles, it's what he dangled in front of Eve before she ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Could she conceptualize any evil or self-centered plan? No. How did Lucifer get her? I'll give you money. She wouldn't have any capacity to even know what that means. You'll be powerful and rich and famous. And again, before she ate of the fruit, none of that would have made sense to her. Here's how he got her. Did you know that God says, can you eat of none of the trees? No, we can eat of all the trees, just not that one. Because the day we do, we will die. Lucifer, you won't die. What? Remember, she has no ability to think about anything evil. How did he get her? There's more. God is holding out on you. Do you want more relationship with God? Uh-huh. And that's how he got her. Eat the fruit. That's how he gets many of us. Not satisfied with where we are currently. Harvest, wherever God has you today, is for a series of important reasons. Can you, will you bloom right now where God has you? Beware of, there's more. God is holding out on you. We're on number 38 now. Many will dump in the millennial reign humans, they're going to dump Jesus as perfect justice for a newly released Lucifer, says Isaiah 58. And the last battle on earth happens at the end of the thousand-year reign. Lucifer as humans surround Jerusalem. We read about that in Revelation 20. And finally, number 40, and it is won by God's fire from heaven, Revelation 20, verse 9, and then comes judgment day. Hit our go button if you would, Chris. All right, so there's your millennial reign. Now we're going to look at this. Go ahead. We're going to look at judgment day. What the Bible says is eternal separation and outer darkness. Have you ever wondered this? Why did God even build hell? Why would he do that? You've heard it. If God is such a God of love, I don't think he would ever do hell. That's because most of us have never, like Isaiah, been suddenly in the presence of a holy God. Do you remember that? It's in your Old Testament book of Isaiah chapter 6. God took Isaiah in the spirit and plopped him right in the throne room of God. And the first thing that occurred to Isaiah, who was a man of God, and probably more than any of the humans of his day, was walking God's word. Still, when he arrived there in God's pristine, white, pureness, crystal clear water, etc., Shekinah glory of God, the cherubim falling down, holy, holy, holy. The first thing that occurs to a very righteous erstwhile Isaiah is, look how filthy I am. You know that story, right? God says to one of the cherubim, take a coal from the brazen altar, touch his lips, and then he was made pure. That's a model, of course. The brazen altar in heaven, Moses made a copy here under the sun. And so what did you do in the brazen altar? You put that sacrifice, and all of the sin offering of the animal was burned to ashes. It's hard for us to understand how holy, which is to say pure, God is. Because after all, we just have each other. And some people will point at somebody and they'll say, boy, that guy's really holy, and he might be. We'll pick him up and put him in, I don't know, some other location. Doesn't look as holy. Careful when we look down at somebody and say, look at that guy. Look at that jerk. He's so not holy. Dude, if God picked you up and suddenly put you in Isaiah's place, how unholy would you and I look? Why did a loving God build hell in the first place? The Bible says he made it not for humans, but for fallen angels. But humans will go there because they shoved aside God, who zipped up a human suit, shoved aside Jesus' dead body, his every attempt to keep us out. What are you talking about? We're done here in Isaiah. Would you join me in the book of Romans? I want to show you something. Book of Romans chapter 3, please, written by the Apostle Paul. How many of you believe Paul, who turns out will write 2/3 of your New Testament, how many of you are pretty certain that Paul's going to get an A on his heavenly report card? Just take a guess. I think he's going to do real well. Paul says, let me introduce you to somebody. Who? Paul says, let me introduce you to me, Paul. If Jesus Christ isn't filling my heart and life. Really? Check out Romans chapter 3. Look down there to verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. What? Paul, isn't that what Paul did? Try this. I'm going to put my name in there. You'll see what I'm talking about. Steve is not righteous. No, not ever. Steve does not understand a thing about his Bible. He does not seek God. Verse 12. Steve has everything turned aside, and he has together become unprofitable. Steve does no good, not even good, never. Bear with me, verse 13. In Steve's throat, it's an open tomb, and Steve's tongue is practicing deceit, and the poison of asps is under his tongue. What? Then what are we listening to you for? Bear with me. Verse 14. Steve's mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, and Steve's feet are swift to shed blood, and destruction and misery are in his ways. Verse 17. And the way of peace Steve does not know. And with Steve, verse 18, there is no fear of God. What? Paul is saying, this is who I am, and that's who we are if Jesus doesn't rescue us. Even the non-saved. Well, the non-saved can sort of have glimpses of not that. Yeah, here's the truth. If God doesn't do it within their heart and mind, it does not occur to the humans to do these things. Every good and perfect gift comes from who? Our lovely Heavenly Father of lights. Here's Paul's point. Humans who pretty sure they're doing a good job have no understanding that if there's anything that is good that comes out of my heart or mind, it was God who put it there. Even the non-humans. Left alone, this is the condition of every single human being. Are you sure? Because in the 7-year Great Tribulation, God takes his presence and these things out of the world. And the humans that are left that aren't believers, this is what they'll be 24/7. It's like the Lord is saying to planet Earth, you don't believe me when I tell you my pureness, which is to say righteousness and holiness, is what I made for you. Don't turn from me. I love you with a desperate love that you frankly cannot grasp. And too many humans feel that knocking on the door of their heart and they say, I don't want you, God. And the 7-year Great Tribulation is an exercise in God giving the planet exactly what they want. And every human is Romans 3. You have to kind of see that and grasp that with me. As you take an inventory of your life, you think, well, I did that. I give to charity. I do these things. Wonderful. Here's what Paul is saying. Those things would not have even occurred to you, saved or not, unless it was an impetus, an inspiration of God in your life. True story. That is why God had to make a hell. Why is it eternal separation? Paul in Romans 3 says, effectively, let me introduce myself. Who I truly am without God, without his love, without his righteousness. Eternal separation for those who choose not to love a righteous God is going to be this. Go ahead if you would, Chris. It's eternal darkness. Now, the artist who came up with this particular slide, I mean, for us, it's a rather visceral image, isn't it? But it's not accurate. Outer darkness is actually complete blackness. Let's fill in some of the blanks, and I'm going to go quickly what hell is really like. 54 times in the Bible mentions hell. 46 verses where Jesus talks directly about hell. Matthew 25, verse 41 says that hell was, quote, prepared for the devil and his angels, not humans. But humans will go there because they are stiff-arming God's every attempt to keep them out. There are two places the Bible describes as hell. The first is a temporary one. That's Sheol or Hades. We looked at that last week. It's a holding place for the disembodied of the unrighteous dead. It contains a chamber known as the bottomless pit or the abuso. The second one is this one. It's forever. It's outer darkness. It's also called Gehenna or the lake of fire. And it lasts forever and ever and ever. And even after the infinite God zipped up a human suit, died to keep them out, they are eternally separated from those who loved God enough that they trusted and obeyed his word over their rebellion and self-serving. So I'm going to show you some of the Bible verses about hell. There's a common misconception that if I go to hell, at least all my buddies will be there. I don't know what they're conceptualizing as hell. They don't understand what the Bible says, and that's why we're doing this exercise. Many people have an aversion. They just can't conceptualize that God would do this. Quickly, you in your mind's eye, I want you to imagine your children as younger. Let's take them under about 7 years of age. Remember that stage in their life? Some of you are living that now. And you are a father, and your job is to put a roof over the head and put food on the table because you love your son or daughter, age 7. I want to give them a younger age to show you the tenderness and the innocence, so to speak. Suddenly, a ravenous dog is in the backyard, foaming at the mouth and displaying every one of the symptoms of being rabid. And your child is in the backyard, too. Can you live, can that diseased, deranged, hurting dog, can they live alongside your precious son or daughter? What's the answer? No. You have to separate them. See, if you're equating a rabid, snarling, angry, hurting animal to me, yes, in that, remember what Paul said about himself. That's who I am without God. And in hell, it's going to be so awful because he's not there. Please understand that hell is not a compartment where you hang out and play cards with your buddies. I'm going to give you what I believe the Bible says very clearly, what the actual hell will be like. It breaks God's heart that he did everything he could to keep people out. And yet they will still choose to go there. There's going to be different levels of torment, the Bible says. Matthew 23, go. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses. And for a pretense, you make long prayers. You're selling yourself as something spiritual, but you're not. You're horrific. Therefore, you will receive a greater condemnation. They have a different, advanced, more advanced darkness and horrificness. Go. Hebrews 10, verse 29. The Jewish religious who rejected Jesus. They were walking with him and they missed it. That's a hard heart. How much worse punishment do you suppose who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing? You missed it. And you insulted the Spirit of grace. God's Spirit was saying, he's the one, he's the one. And you all know a greater judgment. Go. Matthew 10, verse 25. To those cities who rejected the 70 that went out from Jesus, they were doing miracles, remember? It will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they had their problems, in the day of judgment than for that city. Go. Luke 12, verse 47, to religious leaders. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will, they dressed up in the vestments, they stood behind pulpits, they were on TV and bestsellers, but if they're not saved and they are hawking their wares, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. This tremendous heat. Matthew 13, verse 20, verse 49, cast the wicked into furnace of fire. Psalm 11, upon the wicked he will rain fire and brimstone in a horrible tempest. Luke 16, burning in this flame, said the one guy in Sheol. Psalm 140, burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire. Psalm 49, like sheep they are laid in the grave, Sheol, or death, or eternal darkness. Death shall feed on them, and their beauty shall be consumed. Here under the sun currently, how many people are spending billions to look good? In our youth, you know, we were sort of understanding about I'm fairly this and I'm fairly that. We get older, have enough birthdays, you begin to, the mirror is not as kind. Please understand, it doesn't matter how many cosmetic surgeries you have, one day if you are not truly born again and realize your need for a Savior, no one will care because beauty itself is going to be incinerated. John 15, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire. Go. There's no escape from eternal hell. There's no more hope. Isaiah 24, gather together his prisoners in the pit and shall be shut out, shut up in the prison. Proverbs 7, chambers of death. Job 17, bars in the pit. There's no light there. You suddenly bump up against some sort of hindrance. Who's all around in that, also in that terrible darkness? Hey, Pastor Steve, you can't have flames and darkness. Yes, you can. Even here under the sun, an alcohol fire or some of those high fuel fires, you don't see the flame, but it's burning nonetheless. Job 17, you're going to bump into some bars. You can go this far and no farther. And right behind you is some demon. Remember, demons are fallen angels. Take a cross section of the angels, those are the demons. Some angels are very strong and very powerful and very large. One angel is described in the book of Revelation as having 1 foot on the continent and the other in the ocean. That's a big angel. It serves logically that there will be fallen angels of different sizes and strengths, and they will be injuring the new bodied dead. No strength. Isaiah 14, hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. They will say, art thou become as weak as we? Arriving in outer darkness, you can't see anything, but you hear the wailing. And some will say, do you feel as weak as I do? And through the darkness, yes. Psalm 88, those who go down to the pit, a man who has no strength, adrift among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more. Acts 17, in him, Jesus, we live and move and have our being. Remember, in hell, there's not going to be anything that God is there. That's why it's so awful. And the ability currently that we have to function and move around, it comes from God. Won't be there. Go. You will never sleep again. Revelation 14, smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest, night or day. Isaiah 15, the wicked are like the troubled sea. They cannot rest. Psalm 127, the Lord gives his beloved sleep. In hell, you're not his beloved. New bodies in hell, as I mentioned. Matthew, Jesus said in Matthew 10, able to destroy both the soul and the body in everlasting hell. Luke 16, tongue, eyes, great thirst. Let me read to you Revelation 20. And I saw the dead and small and great standing before God, and books are opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were raised and then judged according to their works by the things that were written in those books. That's judgment day. Then death and Hades, that temporary Sheol, were cast into the lake of fire, the everlasting one. And this is the second death, really separation. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Go. You have feeling in hell, because remember, you have a new body. You can sense emotion and physical discomfort. Jesus' new body, remember, felt joy and beauty and love and hunger. Remember, John 21, he cooked the boys breakfast. It is logical that resurrected bodies in hell can also. Hunger, thirst, arms, legs, injuries. Zechariah 9, prisoners out of the pit were there where there is no water. Luke 16, cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Revelation 9, in those days, physically remember, they were injured by demons. You remember that? Lucifer is allowed to open up the bottomless pit, and demons that are incarcerated there were let out. And then on the surface of the earth, it is dark. The sun has been restricted. There's choking, acrid smoke. And now you have demons literally stinging and injuring the humans there in Revelation chapter 9. And remember, for 5 months, they could not die. What is that? That's the Lord hearing the cries of those wounded, mortal wounds, but could not feel the release of death. And that is the Lord with heavy hearts saying, that's what hell is like. Please don't choose that. That's what the book of Revelation is. In Revelation 19, in those days, physically injured by demons, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. It's a model of eternal hell. You're also going to have sight there, but a lot of good it'll do because it's pitch black. Lamentations 3. He has set me in dark places as they that be dead. Jude verse 13, blackness and darkness forever. And then Exodus 10, darkness that can be felt. Go. You have hearing, mostly, unfortunately, with are the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. Some of it, I believe, is environmental, but much of it is, I know that I shouldn't be here. And you rehearse over and over again the many times God brought you somebody who told you about salvation, and you would not have it, because really you loved your sin more. You're going to hear lots of wailing and gnashing of teeth, your own and the countless others sharing the same torment. Incessant, continual, thundering, wailing. Remember, there's no sleep. Every minute, every hour, every millennia, for all eternity. Isaiah 15, there is no peace with the wicked. Surrounded by hate, Psalm 103, the mercy of the Lord is upon those who fear him. There's no mercy in hell. Revelation 13, and then he, the Antichrist, opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. That's you. That's what's going to be all around you, surrounded by that hate in eternal darkness. James 2, do they, the unrighteous, not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? Yeah. And it's going to be doing that in hell. Go. There's no purpose. There's no future except more torment. Ecclesiastes 9. There is no work, no device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in Sheol. It's a complete wasting away of all earthly achievements. I was president. I won an Academy Award. I was an NBA MVP. Doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Ecclesiastes 6, your name, the dead, is covered with darkness. Nobody is a big deal in hell. Psalm 88, shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave? Rhetorical question. No. Or your faithfulness in the place of destruction? No. Shall your wonders or your deeds be known in the dark? And your religious works in the land of those forgotten? Nobody cares. Isaiah 26, conversely, when we're in heaven with the Lord, all the things that we have done are celebrated not once, not twice, but for all eternity. All things done truly for him are celebrated over and over again. Isaiah 26, verse 14, they, the big shots on earth, they're dead. They will not live. They are deceased. They will not rise. Therefore, you have punished and destroyed them and made all their memories to perish. We're almost done. Go. Confusion and turmoil. Jeremiah 20. They, the religious big shots on earth, will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. Isaiah 45. Everlasting confusion. Job 10. A land without order. Versus God's kingdom. Perfect. Here's a big one, unrelenting, gripping fear. powerful, violently depraved demons of varying rage, size, and strength, and every unsaved human murderer and criminal who has ever lived. That's who's in outer darkness with a new body, and it would seem with an ability to receive injury and to give injury. You will remember all loved ones that are in heaven, but every single time you refused God's salvation to keep you out of this horrific place. You will know your loved ones in heaven. They will have no memory of you. The book of Revelation says that God will wipe away all their tears. And also Isaiah 65, for behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. Revelation 21, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes in the new Jerusalem. There shall be no more death, separation, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the memory of the former things has passed away. Go, we'll end here. Why did God make hell if he's such a God of love? He didn't make it for humans. He made it for fallen demons. When they chose to sin, they were in full knowledge and presence. They had all the facts they needed. That's why he made it. But humans will go there because they spent their entire life refusing every time God tried to love on them. None of God's attributes are going to be in hell. That's why it's terrible. James 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift comes from God. There is no good thing apart from God. None. Paul mentioned it there in Romans 3. If it wasn't for him, no human would even think of him or philanthropy or grace or mercy. Currently, fresh air, sunshine, good food, refreshing water. That's not Mother Nature harvest. It's Father God. Psalm 33, verse 5, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. None of that's going to be here. Hell is dark because 1 John 1 says God is light. He won't be there. There is death because God is life, John 1. God is life. Only hatred in hell because 1 John 4 says God is love. Won't be there. No mercy in hell. Psalm 36, mercy of the Lord is in the heavens. Not in that awful place. No strength in hell. The Lord gives me strength. No more water in hell. Deuteronomy 11, water is the rain of heaven. No peace in hell. Isaiah 9, he is the Prince of Peace. And no comfort in hell. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4, God comforts us in all of our troubles. There will be one portion, one of God's attribute that he does permit in hell, and it's fire. And there are those verses. Harvest, you were not meant for this awful place. You are meant for this. God designed you, formed you for that. Life! And family and promise and light and endless renewal and love with the God who loves you more desperately than you could ever imagine. He loved you so much, he zipped up a human suit to be beaten, brutalized, and killed to keep you out.